everyone. This is Jackie Mitchell, your PM professor, and welcome to episode 2 of Bench Talk. Wanted to bring you this episode because it is a new year, 2019. Everyone's talking about new year, new you. And I have a little different take on new year, new you. I don't truly believe in that, but we'll go through that. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But I wanted to take this time to reintroduce myself for those who are new to me and what it is I do and what it is I offer. So again, I am Jackie Mitchell, your PM professor, for those who visited the website, www.pmprofessor.com. Just want to give you a little note on why PM Professor, what that stands for. Well, PM stands for Project Management or Project Manager. I am a project manager by trade, and I've been doing that for the past 20 years, believe it or not. And so I had a few years back started PM Professor and didn't really know what I was going to do with it, just knew that I wanted to create a platform for project managers, you know, up-and-coming project managers, to talk about their issues, their struggles, and help to guide them on their way and their journey in their careers. Because a lot of what I do, aside from project management, has been to mentor and coach junior project managers. At this point in my career, I'm a senior project manager, also doing program management. And so a lot of companies that I work with, I mentor their junior PMs, project managers, or business analysts. And for those who don't know, a lot of what I do is in the information technology and the IT space, technology space, tech space, if you will. So some of the acronyms come from there. I'll try to keep that short. But I mentor a lot of the younger or junior, I should say, BAs, PMs, QA, quality assurance analysts, on their careers and what they should be doing, how should they advance. It's really interesting because a lot of times people will come to me who are on my team and ask me many different questions on how I got to where I am and how to help them deal with other team members or even the boss or their manager that they report to. Outside of the project. So I found myself doing that quite a bit. And so I thought, let me create a space where it's a safe space, online space, where I can offer insight into career development and being a professional working in corporate America, if you will, working in a corporate environment. A lot of people are struggling with that. They're struggling with making their way. They're struggling with finding the best route to get to where they want to go or to climb that ladder or even to what's the route to get out of their current position and start a new position or transition into a new position or even starting their own business. Like, how do you do that? So I've worked with so many people over so many years, and in doing so, I've gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of insight on what to do, especially from my own personal story, specifically from my own personal story on what to do and how to do it. So let me give you a little insight on that, a little bit about me. Well over 20 years ago, right after college, I had started while I was in college, I started working as an accounts receivable clerk. I had a young family, new mom, and newly married, and really just, I didn't have my degree yet and just needed to work. And I really wasn't keen on working retail. I knew I was bigger than that. For me, I had bigger goals than that. Obviously, going to college and getting my degree and advanced degrees for myself, I had bigger goals. So I had started in an office, a small office, working in accounting with my best friend, funny enough. And I don't even think I was making $6 an hour at that time. And at that time, that was a lot for me, you know. While I was there, I learned a lot about myself and how I dealt with people and how to work in a corporate, if you will, environment. right? And I was going to school at the same time. So, you know, from there, I just kind of started looking around, what are the things, what are the skills that I have, the skill sets that I have, and the different jobs out there that I could apply for. And so fast forward, I worked my way within an accounting department, working with the IT team, working with projects on the IT team as an SME, as a subject matter expert, right? So they would have projects and they wanted people who knew the systems to explain the systems, this, that, or the other, and I would be that person. And so the degree that I was going for at that time was information systems. So I knew both worlds. I knew the side of the business and I knew the side of IT. And I kind of straddled between both sides. So I would work on different or ask to work on different projects that exposed me to the IT world. And I'd find, you know, people in the IT department, tech teams, and developers and coders, and I would kind of attach to them and learn what they were doing and ask a lot of questions and just to kind of put pieces together, right? And I would also seek out some mentors. You know, how do I get there? What do I want to do? What do I really want to do? And at that time, I thought I wanted to be a developer. And when I really realized what developers did, I said, no, thank you. I don't want to do that, right? So fast forward again to an opportunity where I had just graduated college. I got my bachelor's degree and I had an opportunity to work in an organization. It was a global organization as an analyst, and I took it. And, you know, the lady who hired me saw in me, I guess, more than I saw in myself. And she took me under her wing and taught me the business. It was a telecom company at that time in the 90s, really. Telecom company. And I think it was the late 90s, early 2000s, late 90s maybe. A telecom company working in telephony. And I was working on mainframe computers, pulling reports, creating reports, teaching myself how to do it, learning from her how to do it. And she had me working on so many different projects. I learned so much in that one position and pretty much sat in her office at a table and soaked in all of the information that I possibly could. She was amazing, such an amazing woman who just saw the potential in me. And she was actually the person who I helped create a presentation where I had no idea that she would invite me to the meeting. It was a meeting with the upper level management executives. And she was to present this presentation to them. And during the introduction, she introduced me and she said, Jackie will be doing the presentation. And I lost it in my head, but I had to remain calm. And, you know, I stood up, I was scared. I hated talking in front of people, but I did it. And I was shaking the whole time and it worked. You know, I pulled it off. Everyone was excited. Everyone was happy. And I knew the information because I created it. You know, I created the documentation and I knew what was in it. I helped her on the project and it was amazing. And so from then I got bigger and better projects, worked on bigger things, worked with other people in other departments. I learned so much information and learned a lot from her on how to navigate this world, you know, as being a woman as well, because in those times, IT, women in IT was not a big thing. You know, it really wasn't something where we were well represented. And for me, especially me, being a Black woman in IT, very underrepresented. But, you know, we all have similar stories, and it worked, and it worked out. And here I am, 20 years later, you know, now I moved from that to being a project manager and worked my way up with project management, had additional mentors, a huge, huge influence on me and what I did in my career and how to navigate my way through the IT world, male-dominated IT world, and I did it, you know. And so from there, created my own businesses, PM Professor being one of them. And so it's a space where I wanted to create where we all could come together. And it's not just project managers. It started out as project management, but I found that people who were navigating towards me and coming to me for help were people in all industries, you know, people who were in many different kind of roles. I had folks who are executives. I have folks who are directors, people who are in education, people who are in sales, other project managers as well, people who are in IT, you know, marketing, all over, you know. But the key thread that I find is that, you know, people are sometimes very limiting in their beliefs on what they can do, you know, and that they have these fears that they need help overcoming certain fears so that they can advance their careers, or whether it's their career, it's something else that's holding them back. And what I find that was, you know, what's holding people back a lot of the times, it has nothing to do with your career or how to talk to your boss. A lot of times it's things within yourself, things within your life, your belief system, sometimes it's the how you're talking to yourself, the conversations that you're having with yourself, some unrepaired or unresolved issues that they have that spills over into from their personal life into their professional life. So I find a lot of times when I'm doing career coaching, it turns into life coaching. Not, and I have to make this disclaimer, I am not a therapist, psychologist by any means. We don't work on fixing the past. We work on setting goals and moving forward. What do we need to do to move forward? We acknowledge, we move forward, you know? So that's where I set boundaries around that. But moving forward with getting people to where they want to go. And a lot of times it's really a lot of coaching, life coaching. And it turns into, okay, the benefit of that, now I'm a little bit more confident. Now I'm more confident, more assertive in my career. I can go out and ask for what I want. I can go out and ask for what I deserve. I can have those hard conversations with team members. I have those hard conversations with my manager because now I'm overcoming certain things in my life, certain things that's been holding me back, and recognizing them and moving forward, right? So that is, in a nutshell, me, what I do, how I help people. Just kind of wanted to reintroduce that side of me for those who are wondering what PM Professor is. Who is Jackie Mitchell? How did you get here? What are you doing? And what can you do for me? But Bench Talk is something that I created to have another outlet, if you will, another outlet. I wanted to create a podcast. And it's called Bench Talk because I am, like I said, by trade, a project manager. And in my company, I work on different contracts. So sometimes, you know, in the industry, if you're between contracts, they say that you're on the bench, you know. So I wanted this, it was kind of a play in words, you know, you're on the bench between contracts. I'm not right now, but I just wanted to have something that can identify with that and what people talk about when they're on the bench, you know. And these are conversations that go across the board. You don't have to be a project manager to understand what that is. You know, we are going to have conversations about limiting beliefs, self-confidence, you know, how to talk to a boss, how to get a raise, all those different things, all of those great things coming up for 2019 and beyond. But so that's why it's called Bench Talk. What conversations are we having outside of the office that we can, you know, grow from and help each other with and take that into our careers and into our lives and uplift ourselves and hold ourselves accountable and have people hold us accountable and move forward. So that's Bench Talk in a nutshell. So with that, I wanted to get into our main topic today, New Year, New You, and why I say no. New Year, New You, and why I believe that is just total garbage. You know, I don't think that there is a new you. There shouldn't be a new you. I don't subscribe to that. And it's been a while since I've subscribed to that, actually, since I've believed that to be true or something that I aspire to do with every new year that comes around. In the past couple of years, I would say, I stopped making resolutions because I set myself up for failure. And I don't want you to set yourself up for failure. So I want to explain what I mean by no new year, no new you. You should still be who you are, but you should be a better version of who you are. You should be a little deeper, get a little bit more into who you are, know yourself a little better, become the best you. As they say, live your best life, living your best life, being a better version of who you are. However long it took you to get to who you are, however old you are, it's taken that amount of time. So in overnight, you're not going to become a new person overnight. That's not going to happen. What I see with resolutions, people are making these resolutions, and I'm not downing anyone or anything, to each his own, but I've found a better way that has worked for me, and hopefully it'll work for you. And to take the pressure off, because there's a lot of pressure with resolutions. Oh, what's your resolve this year? What are you going to do? And I see resolutions honestly as, stating that there is a problem. A resolution pretty much is saying that there is a problem to be solved. It's solving a problem. Do you necessarily have a problem? Yes, some of us do. There are things that we would like to work on and get better at or stop doing or changing mindset, but you're not going to do that overnight. You're not going to do that with a resolution. And not saying that resolutions happen overnight. You state what they are, but are they really attainable? One of the most popular resolutions is to lose weight. Okay, now what? What do you do day one? Everybody's in the gym. You go to the gym the day or the week after New Year's and everybody's in the gym. You can hardly find space. Go to the gym again in 30 days. You're not going to see as many people. Go to the gym again in 45 days. You're going to see the same people that were there last year. Those people who are committed to a new lifestyle. That's who you'll see. You're not going to see those folks. You rarely see those folks who made the resolution to lose weight. What you'll see is people who have made a commitment to have a better lifestyle, maybe have to be healthier. So what I say instead of creating a resolution, because resolutions give no wiggle room. They set you up for failure sometimes. Because it's easy to fail, quote unquote, fail. And we're going to talk about successes and failures a little bit later. But resolutions are goals. And sometimes it's a little easier to fail or give up on that. Because in your mind, you're saying, this goal that I have, I'm not going to be happy until I reach it, until I have that thing. And if you don't get it, you're not going to be happy. A lot of times that's what comes with the resolution or the goal. What I say to set is to set an intention. And for me, intention means something totally different. An intention is not a goal. An intention in my mind, and you can read about this many places, but for Jackie, an intention in my mind is connected more spiritually for me. It's more at a deeper level. It's more expansive. It gives wiggle room for other things. So I don't limit myself with a goal. And I'm not saying I don't have goals. I do have certain goals that I would like to reach and attain. But at a bigger level, on a bigger scale, I set intentions. And intentions help you change your mindset. And in changing your mindset, You start to become a different person. Michelle Obama wrote the book Becoming. Haven't read it yet, haven't picked it up yet, but I saw some excerpts. But pretty much, becoming, who are you becoming? And I think setting intentions helps to get you to where you want to go. And a lot of times you don't know where you want to go, and that is okay. And that's why an intention for me is so much better, because sometimes I don't know what that end result is. I open myself up to the possibility of anything, you know, the bigger possibility of the intention, where this intention is going to take me, you know? So for me, an intention is more along the lines of surrendering to certain things and to certain limiting beliefs and mindsets and moving in a different direction, you know? So let's say you have an intention, which is bigger than, of course, I said, like, the intention is bigger than a goal. So let's say you have an intention to become healthier. That's not the same thing as setting a goal to lose weight. Goal to lose weight, you want the numbers to drop on that scale. You want certain clothes to fit you. You want to be in a different size, a smaller size, typically, when you want to lose weight. But setting an intention to be healthier is a little bit broader. It opens itself up to more possibilities, because healthier could be healthier in the mind and healthier in the body, not just limiting to the body and waistline or, you know, your BMI or anything like that. Setting an intention to be healthier could mean, you know, well, today, instead of taking the elevator, I'm going to take the stairs. Tomorrow, instead of taking the elevator, I'm going to take the stairs. The next day, instead of parking closer to the entrance, I'm going to park in the other parking lot and walk a little further. Those little things start to add up, and then they start to become habit. And not only is the byproduct of that habit losing weight, becoming healthier, heart healthier. Maybe during that time that you're walking a little further, you're clearing your mind. You're thinking about other things. You're making and setting goals in your mind, maybe. And I know I said stuff about goals, but thinking about new intentions or things that you need to do, or, you know, working on limiting beliefs during that time frame. So when I say setting an intention can benefit many different areas of your life, because you're not tied to the result. There can be many results along the way to getting healthy, just healthy as an example, but there are many results along the way, because you've left it so broad that you're not tied to the numbers on the scale. That's just one thing. And if you don't attain that one thing, you're unhappy. So it's not about that result. It's about the journey. So setting an intention is about the journey along the way to this result that you may not know in your limited mind what that result is, but the intention knows. That intention can get you somewhere bigger and better than what you could even possibly imagine. But in setting those intentions, you definitely have to surrender to all of the possibilities. And there really aren't any good and bad with it, because these possibilities are all lessons along the way. And that's what life is, you know, and it's being vulnerable and being open. And yes, sometimes you may be fearful, but it's taking fear by the hand, like literally holding fear by the hand and saying, let's go. I have an intention. It may take me to this one place that I'm terrified of, but we're going to go, because that intention is going to take me somewhere else. I may not know exactly where that place is, but I know the good intention behind it, and surrendering is going to get me eventually to where I want to be. And then there's the next intention, and then the next. So the different results along the way, that journey is what you really should be focusing on and enjoying and learning from the journey, as opposed to looking at the goal off in the sunset, you know, the goal of, let's say, again, losing weight, the numbers on that scale. Because until you get to that goal, you're looking at it and you're really pinpointing on that number, you're going to be unhappy. rather than looking at the you do that rather than looking at the intention behind it and looking at the journey. Because a lot of times when you set intentions, I know this is definitely true for me, I'll set an intention. I have no idea what that result will be, but along the way, I see different things. Like, it will guide me and move me in the direction that I need to go. And I'm not forcing it, and I'm not trying so hard. So I'm not setting myself up for failure. And it's not aimless. By any means, it's not aimless. It's intentional. You know, I hate to keep using the word, but it is intentional. You know, it's very intentional. So there was one day, I'm going to give you an example. It sounds a little crazy and wacky, but I have a very intense and sometimes stressful role as a project manager. I work with many different personality types. And not only that, some really intense projects, like multi-million dollar projects. And money brings out some really interesting sides of people when we're talking about a lot of money and a lot of tight deadlines. So I remember one day I set the intention to come from a place of love. Because I realized the week before, I was so stressed out because of the tight deadlines and because of the attitudes people would have because of tight deadlines and because I'm asking them to deliver certain things within those tight deadlines, and me getting annoyed, not towards them outwardly, but inside in my head. I'm like, this is crazy. And these people are crazy. But then I said to myself, I set an intention for the week. Actually, I did a week-long intention of coming from a place of love. And what I found during that week was that my interaction with my team changed drastically. I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but I knew my intention was to come from a place of love. And in doing that, it brought me into a space of understanding. And when I came from that place of love, which brought me to a place of understanding, my relationship with some of the toughest personalities on that team started to change, started to shift. And I saw their reaction towards me based on my reaction. Not necessarily my reaction, but based on my approach with them. I approached them in a more understanding way, which now I understood why they did the things that they did, because I now asked certain questions in a different manner, coming from a place of love. If it were me, what are the challenges that I would have? And because I thought, and this sounds really simple and basic, but sometimes when you're on a go, 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 you're not thinking in that manner. But I said, something needs to change because this is my team. And they're not bad people. They're just really cranky right now. And why are they really cranky right now? Like, what is it that I can do to help them and to help them be successful? I needed to now change my perception. So I had the intention to come from a place of love. I didn't set an intention to be friends or set an intention to be a little bit more lax with them or anything like that. I said, let me set an intention to come from a place of love and see where that takes me. See what is brought in my path and the interactions that I had. It was amazing. I could not have imagined or predicted the outcome of doing that. So when I came from a place of love and from a place of understanding and interacted with some of the toughest personalities on that team, I began to get people talking to me like on a one-on-one basis off the record. Hey, this is what's really going on. And then now I can understand where they're coming from and help solve a problem that I didn't realize or didn't know that there was a problem there because we were both closed off to each other. So what I'm saying is when you set intentions, you're setting intention not for the goal in mind, but for the journey to get there. And knowing that the results along the way will help you get to a place where you're a little bit more free, a place where you can think a little bit more deeply about what you're doing. It's much more purposeful. It's much more enjoyable. It's definitely less stressful because you're not hell-bent on that one goal. I am not going to be happy until. It's more of this intention is going to take me to wherever it's going to take me, and I'm open to it. I may be a little bit afraid, but I'm open to it. It's not that I'm unhappy, because I'm happy that I've made an intention. For me personally, I get happy every intention that I make. Starting off, I was a little bit weary. What is this craziness? But it really helps to make things purposeful. Like you're living with purpose. You have an aim and you have a goal. So really quickly, Wayne Dyer, who I love, 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 God rest his soul. He passed away. Don't remember if it was last year or year before last. To me, it seems most really recent and probably hasn't been. But he has a book called The Power of Intention. And I have it on my shelf and I read bits and pieces of that book. And one of my intentions this year is to actually read the entire book. Wayne Dyer defines intention as a strong purpose or aim, accompanied by a determination to produce a desired result. An intention is something that you aim to achieve, something that has a purpose, something that is that you actively work on to manifest it into your life. So when I talk about new year, new you, and all of this hype around that, I just really hope that you guys understand what I'm referring to. You know, it's not a quick fix. None of this is a quick fix, you know. My goal with what I do is to help people be successful. And one of the things that I try to do is to help you find ways and tools to be successful. And if it's a mind shift, things to help you look at life or your life a little bit differently, trying something a little different because what you have been doing hasn't been working. You know, if you're going into the new year a little bit depressed about 2018, I've had so many people come to me really unhappy about 2018. And I say that it's not the year. It could have been 2004. It could have been 1982. It's not the year. It's what has happened during that year and the opportunities that you took and did not take. And were you purposeful with things? Or did you just let things happen and you were a bystander? You know, now there have been, you know, certain situations that were just not good for some people, and I get it. So going into 2019, let's look back at 2018 and say, I learned some lessons here. There are some things that have happened that may have not been that great, but I'm going to try something new to see how my life will change, to see how I will change. What can I do to become a better me? Not necessarily a new me, but a better me. Do I need to change the way I'm thinking? Do I need to shift my mindset? What can I do to be a little bit more purposeful? And it's work. It's work. It's vulnerability. It's you working on you. And when I'm working with my clients, it is all about getting vulnerable. And if you're not ready to put in that work, unfortunately, you may not see results, you know, but at least have intention, have an intention of doing things. Prepare your mind for, you know, better things. And I'm not talking about material things, better positions in life, meaning I am at a state where I am happy. I am at a state where I have joy. I have love. I feel fulfilled. Those are the things when I say a state at a better state, that's what I mean. And from those different states, there are other things that it spills out into different areas of your life, manifesting different things. And I know this sounds all spiritual, what have you, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it's really getting down to the deep inside of who you are and what you want. And until you can really and truly do that, you're going to just, you know, continue chasing after different goals and still being unhappy. You know, and then the key is to be genuinely happy and to live a really good, happy life. And you define what that is for yourself. I can't define that for you. That's a very personal thing where I have people and my clients, people that I mentor, define what success is for them and what failure is for them. Because a lot of times those two things are a means of pain, a source of pain, even success, you know? So getting into defining failure and success, those are two things that I find very interesting when I talk to people, because failure and success, they're not the end result of anything. For me, it's like a continuum. If I do something and I feel it's successful, I celebrate and move on. It doesn't end. It doesn't end with the success. You know, if I do something and I deem it a quote unquote failure, I embrace it, learn from it, and move on. I may get another failure, embrace it, learn from it, and move on. Sometimes there may be a tear or two, embrace it, you know, learn from it, and move on. And they eventually may turn into successes. You know, it just really depends on your point of view on how you look at things. You know, how do you define success? And are you defining success based on other people's definition of success or your own? And it really can't be based on anyone else, because when you base your success on someone else's, you sometimes let yourself down because you have set the bar so high that it's unattainable and you feel like you're never successful. But you have to define what success looks like for yourself, and you have to define what failure looks like for yourself. And sometimes bounce that off of people. It's someone that you really trust and someone who can be really honest with you and someone you feel you can be vulnerable with. Because sometimes we define failure and someone else looks at it and say, that's not a failure. You're a perfectionist, so that's a failure to you. Or, you know, you're so hard on yourself, that's a failure to you. Some of these things that we define as failure really is not a failure. We just really need to look at it and say, okay, was it really a failure or was it a success, a hidden success? You know, I always try to find the hidden successes in any and everything that I do because, you know, there are so many things that I'm involved in, so many things that I do, and it's easy to get down on myself because I am my worst critic. I am extremely hard on myself. I'm not the only one. Doesn't matter if I'm a coach or not. I am extremely hard on myself. That is something that I struggle with, that I am working towards, because for me, I feel like I need to be the best me in order to give the best that I can get, you know? That's something that I need to work on for me. And we all have those things, right? But defining failure and success really is something that is very personal that we need to take a look at. So one of the things I want you to really sit and write out is, what does success mean to you? And what does failure mean to you? And look back on 2018 and list out your successes. Look back on 2018 and list out your failures. Go away and then come back to it and really read them and say to yourself, if you look at the failures, what you deem as failures, were these really failures? And if you feel that they were really failures, what were the lessons in those things? Now, if you look at those are lessons that you can take with you moving forward. And those will eventually turn into a success because now you know not to do those things again. You know, so it's all in how you look at it. And for me, again, success and failures, it's just like a continuum. You know, you get to one point, it just doesn't stop there. You go, you continue, you go to the next. Is it a failure? Continue, you go to the next. A lot of times these are not failures. These are lessons. These are lessons. And these lessons can be successes. It's all in how you look at it. Wrapping up, I want to leave you with something that I had posed to my Profesh Society members in one of the 4 Points Friday. If you're not signed up, sign up for 4 Points Friday. There's a link on the website, and I will definitely put a link in the show notes below. But 4 Points Friday, I had put in there 3 questions in review of your year. Number one, what did I do or experience this year that I am proud of? This is for the previous year. Number two, what one lesson did I learn this year? Number three, what am I letting go of and not taking with me in 2019? You will be surprised. What I did was I had people respond back to that email. You'd be surprised on the responses. And I had conversations with folks about these 3 questions in your year of review. Very interesting. I want you to take those 3 questions along with your success and failures and take a look at that. It'll be really interesting. So just to wrap up, I want to talk to you really quickly again about intentions and resolutions. Intentions will take you farther than a resolution. A resolution is just, you know, that limiting goal you see right in front of you and it solves a problem. An intention is a little more expansive. An intention, you're not focused on that end goal. The intention, you're focused on the journey. There's so many results along the way, so many positive results along the way and lessons along the way. A lot of it is more about the journey as opposed to focusing solely on that goal that sometimes can lead you to failure. But we want to make sure that we are successful in all that we do, successful in our lives, successful in our careers, in all aspects. So let's take a look at an intention. Start creating intentions. Start writing down your intentions, whether it's the intention for the day, for the week, try maybe not for the month, but for the day, the week, and then you'll see patterns and behaviors starting to form, and it'll start to get you to where you feel that you want to go. And sometimes it'll take you to places that you didn't even know you wanted to be, but it feels good. And those places are good places for you. You know, your life leading you to your destiny, if you will. And these good things and these good results will spill over into so many different areas of your life. Maybe it's your career, maybe it's your personal life, relationships in your personal life, relationships in your professional life, advancing in your professional life, because now you have confidence. Now you feel like you can speak up for yourself. Now you feel like you can move on from the job that you're in to a new job. Intention. All with intention. Intention, intention, intention. It's purposeful. It's an aim. It's a deeper connection. It raises your awareness. And it's more about you. So thank you for listening today on today's episode, episode 2, New Year, New You, Why I Don't Believe That Is Necessarily the Case. Thank you for listening. And again, this is Jackie Mitchell. You are listening to Bench Talk. Episode 2, you can find me on my website, www.pmprofessor.com. I am on Instagram and Facebook at PM Professor. I am on Twitter, Real PM Professor. But a lot of times you can find me on Instagram. Unfortunately, I'm on there a lot. I am on there a lot starting to do some Instagram stories, and I do have IGTV out there where I'll post little snippets here and there. But for the most part, you can find me at any of the social media outlets, Pam Professor. Again, it's Jackie Mitchell, and I will have wealth of information for you in the show notes, links to different things, to the blog, links to Profesh Society, everything you'll find there along with my handles. Again, thank you for listening to episode 2 of Bench Talk. Come back again. I cannot wait to share more information with you. Thanks.